The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. 2's on the inside coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Oh, yes. Inside Florida Racing. That's what you're listening to right here. Let me get my ears working right here. Let me turn them up a little bit. There we go. Folks, you're listening live. Radio. Racing radio on Real Racing Net. What is it? What's it called? What's it called?
I think it's still called
Real Racing USA. Your microphone's not working.
And we are on Inside Florida Racing.
Yes, on Real Racing USA.
I had the wrong one up.
Wicks, and there you go, Rod Brett Favre. Elton. There you go.
Yeah.
You look like Brett Favre's like great-great-grandfather.
Well, the color of the hair is right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today must be the day for insults.
Hey, isn't the sonogram stuff awesome, man?
We're looking at a sonogram of Rob Elting's unborn child.
That would be Robbie Jr.
And he even his ultrasound looks just like his daddy.
Well, he has a helmet on.
Beautiful kid. Look at that.
He's getting ready to get in the car.
Looks like he's driving a car down there, doesn't he?
Well, who do we have on this show tonight?
Well, originally we were going to have Wayne Calkins on, but for some reason he has had phone problems.
It's an Indiana issue.
I know. I think he came in 14th or something, 14th or 16th, which is very good because there was a field of 53.
I'm listening.
Okay. We have Jason Garver on from Columbia Speedway.
Yes.
Jimmy Jeep, the push trucker.
The king of the push trucks.
Wayne Rocketman Jefferson.
Rocketman.
He got fired.
Did he get fired? We're going to find out. I doubt they got
Wayne,
fired.
Wayne, you better get ready, man, because...
They're ready to have some fun with you, Wayne, so I know you can take it.
Why would they fire him? I might hire him to drive my car. Shit, I don't know.
Wow.
That would be an idea.
That would be an idea.
He would just tear it up for spite.
And we have Scott Walters on, who is now going to be racing the car Wayne was driving.
Well, that's a heck of a seat to try to fill.
Then we're going to talk to Rick Angie, Dave Westerman.
Are you trying to do it fast?
Linda
Jericho.
Yeah,
I tried, but it just wouldn't come, man.
It's going to be the speed round.
What is the name of that going to be? The
speed round. It's a
speed round. It's three minutes of fame.
It's a 3 minutes of fame for each of the... can you turn my microphone up over there or something? Something's not right here. Give me some bass or something.
Give you some bass?
I don't know. Something just doesn't sound right.
What are you going
to
sing?
Which one are you on?
I am on
number uno, dos, tres. I'm on tres. Number three.
Oh, okay.
Number three.
No, you're up there, man.
What we're going to do for each and individual track, you know, all the tracks that are out here in the state of Florida, whether it's dirt or asphalt or, you know, heck, we need to get into maybe even a motorcycle race or something. You know, I want to know where the people are racing. So, obviously, we want you to contact us here on Inside Florida Racing where you can – what is the email here? What is the correct email address?
Feedback@realracingusa.com. And by the way, there is a new number for call-ins that you have there.
I see it. It's 941-426-6760. If you want to call in.
That is our permanent Real Racing USA official
hotline.
Phone number.
It's called a hotline.
It's a hotline. That's
it's a hotline because if you're not 941, it's going to cost you money.
That's right.
941-426-6760. Learn it, live it, love it. Use it. Call us. Tell us what you want to hear. You know, I mean... Carol does a great job. By the way, I'm Rob Elting, a.k.a. Bonehead, and Carol Wicks is in the studio.
Super
here,
fan
always.
Wicks.
Super fan Wicks. And
Jason Racing Jason, he's...
No, he's defunct again, not here. I don't know where he's at. I did not hear any overall sales.
He can't get his head
sales.
Out of the damn toilet.
I didn't hear any overall sales going on, so I don't know where he's at. Jack Smith, of course, is here with us. Let's get back to what we were talking about, was all the announcers at the individual racetracks. We're going to have a round. We're going to take 30 minutes or so of each individual show that we have, and we're going to spend on talking to these announcers and trying to get to their local drivers, some of their stars. So we're going to give them 3 minutes of fame. They're going to have to do it fast. We'll see how fast these guys can talk. And we're going to try to get a bunch of them in. How many is there, 14?
You got the list in front of you.
Yeah, well, I
didn't
can't count
them.
That quick.
Linda, I know you're listening in there, so
page.
Get your speed lips on dial.
Yeah, what you're going to have to do is they'll have to, you know, real quick, they're going to have 3 minutes, and it's called 3 minutes of fame because we're going to give each of these tracks, the announcers there or the promoter, whoever wants to do it, 3 minutes to tell us about their famous driver of the week and what's going on at their racetrack coming up. So they're going to have to do it quickly, aren't they, Jack?
I would think. I was counting them.
I would be nice to them because they don't have to do this. They're going to do it out of the...
Are you kidding me?
Why does she want to be nice to
people? I don't
know
why the hell we should be nice to them. They should be demanding calling us up. Yeah. We shouldn't even have to be thinking this crap up. They should be calling us and promoting their racetrack, for Christ's sake.
Do they know how much gas it cost us to get to the Karnak Tower right here?
Wait a second. Let me see if I can find a crying towel here.
So we're not asking.
Yeah, you're right. We are here to try to help the tracks.
They're lucky we're not asking them for money. Did you just say that?
No, I didn't say that.
You were thinking it. You must have been thinking it, because I know.
Well,
by
no,
the way,
we don't have any sponsors for this show yet, but all of our other shows, we do have some pretty. Actually, we do have a sponsor for this show, and that is Evergreen Development. That's absolutely totally slipped my mind.
Evergreen here. Development. What do they got? That sounds like something good.
Jay Carberry's company. They come in, and if you have a plaza you want to build, right, they do the clearing. You got a condo you want to build, they come in and they do the clearing, they do ready to prep so you can build.
So I wonder if all their guys are sitting around doing nothing.
They've done
too,
environmental
like
work. Well, you know, it all comes back to, you know, people, a few, you know, they've argued on this message board, some of these guys are swearing, they still will. They'll get on there and tell you, well, the economy's only doing bad if you're sitting on your ass. Well, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of people hurting, and a lot of it stems from this gasoline price that the increase was a year ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, is right now starting to really have some crunch effects on people.
Well, you know what?
Decent, hard-working people who want to work.
Oh, yeah, that go to work every day.
Which is most people.
That's right.
You're running out of work, and the problem is gas, if gas costs a dollar more than it did 3 years ago or 4 years ago, a dollar as opposed to $3 is what percent? That's like,
it's huge.
33%.
It's a big difference, man.
So it's a third, basically a third of it has risen. So if you're paying all that for gas, our paychecks haven't risen by a third. You're not making a third more than you used to. And if anything, if you're a contractor out there, you're having to.
The bottom line is
cut employees.
The bottom line
cut
is
price.
Several oil companies have made billions and billions of dollars in profits while at the expense of the public. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, that's the way it is.
I wonder what they're going to do with fuel in the future.
It's going to get worse.
Racing gas and everything.
It's going to get worse because it affects everything we do, because it's not just the price of gas. I mean, all petroleum products, you know. Well, which is plastics and everything else.
Well, the fuel issue and the working issue definitely is the reason why our racetracks are not loaded down with cars and race car drivers and or fans out there because of the costs that come.
I'm picturing Tony Stewart in a Toyota wearing a Chinese suit smoking a Cuban cigar.
Well, you know, listen.
He's going to have to do that to get along with all the Formula One drivers that are coming to race in NASCAR anyway.
Things are going to really change, I think, in the future of, like, our children, like my child that's going to be born. You know, I think you're going to see Walmarts, big, huge business. Everybody's going to be working for huge business. You may be working for Toyota, You know, you're talking about Toyota right now. You might be working for Toyota yourself there, Carol. You never know. Because they're definitely already taken over as the number one manufacturer now over Chevrolet in sales in the United States of America. So for those guys to come up like they did last week and get Tony Stewart, I think the guy from Toyota put it real good when he sat there in that meeting and he said, if we'd all been sitting around at dinner 6 months ago and I'd have said in 6 months in September, we're going to sign a deal with you, Joe Gibbs, and you're going to be driving our cars. He says we'd all got a hearty laugh. And that's the guy from Toyota. He, you know, but what's happened is that Toyota's obviously got lots of money. You know, the Chinese, they've got plenty of money. But if you go see how their country is and how their people have to work, you know, don't think that our country's not far from that. But we're getting real straight away with things that I like to talk about. I already do a show about construction and the problems in construction today. Let's get back to talking about racing and who we're going to have on. Who's our first guest we're going to have on?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just say hello.
Hello.
To Jimmy Jeep.
Jimmy Jeep.
Hey, Jimmy. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing terrible. These guys, don't let them kid you, Jimmy. They're sitting here whining in their beer. And they're doing terrible. So don't take anything otherwise.
No problem.
Okay, Jimmy Jeep, talk to us, man. Tell us about who you've been pushing around lately.
Yeah, I heard you're a pusher.
Oh, yeah, I'm a pusher. I like to get them right in the rear.
Whoops.
Well, we just did TBRA there a week ago and at Orlando Speed World and saw our good young guns and old guns out there racing. And
Well, for those who don't know, you explain what it is that you do and why.
Well, I work with sprint cars and midgets and antiques need to be push started. All these rigs, they don't have a transmission or a clutch or a starter.
There you go.
Have to put them in gear and give them a good shove and wipe them, turn the spark and the fuel on, and away we go, hopefully.
Have you ever goofed and pushed too hard?
I've been doing this 22 years, and I have never hit anybody or gone over a wheel.
Darn, you're not even any fun.
Now, you know you got started in that because it was a way you figured out how to get in the races for free, right?
Well, no.
Yeah, come on.
It went quite a few years. We actually paid to do a lot of the races, and we hooked up at the Florida Fairgrounds when Jack Nolding was running that, and
right.
Stacy down the East Bay, he brought me in down there, and I worked, a lot of people thought I actually lived in the Tampa area for years. I was running out of all of my springs, but we'd drive over twice a weekend. And then we went on and got known enough. We started getting in free to a lot of tracks, and then we worked a couple of years for American Wing Outlaws, 360 group out of Atlanta. And then we did a couple of years helping Pete Walton, USCS. And then last few years we sort of settled down and worked Volusia, Putnam, North Florida Speedway, New Smyrna, Ocala once in a while, and, of course, Orlando Speed World. We traveled 15 years and did Super Dirt Week at Syracuse. Actually, I kept showing up, and they decided to just pay me to come up there and work because they couldn't get rid of me. And then over the years, I've worked 90 different tracks.
Wow.
I've logged over 530,000 miles on my Jeep.
Tell everybody what your Jeep looks like, what color it is and all, so they know who you're talking about, because there's a lot of folks that watch these TBARA stuff, and they'll remember you when you tell them.
Well, it's bright yellow. We have sponsorship on the hood from Case Contracting. Chuck Christensen, he helps out basically with my website at jimmyjeep.com. And, of course, Christensen is well known for sponsoring the Rudiman, basically Pookie Rudiman right now in the Silver Crown Series, who's running second in points.
That's Junior, correct?
Pardon?
Wayne Jr.?
Wayne Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually the bright yellow came from Taylor Andrews. Taylor used to help me out years ago, and he picked that color, and we stuck with it. And we get a lot of help from little bits here and there, you know, sweet parts of Florida. Merle Caswell helps out with Royal Purple, and Bilstein Shocks give him a pretty good ride. Got David Hollinger helps out a little, Bruce Durden surveying. And then, of course, my main group right now that I've been putting in a lot of time with is the Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Tell us about the DAARA.
Right. Daytona Antique Auto Racing is, we take in cars that are 30 years and older, and we have some going back to about 1918. And we race. We don't put them on exhibition, although we list ourselves as exhibition. But, you know, the boys get out there, and they run the cars. They don't sit home and polish them, make them look pretty. They're running vehicles. And got a big show coming up in November, 8th through 11th, at the festival grounds at Zephyr Hills. And we're running here 4 days during the day on the old dirt track. And we'll have around 70, 80 cars there in November.
Wow.
The boys put on a pretty good show.
Where's that at?
That's on 301, just south of Zephyr Hills. It's the festival grounds there. They have a big flea market there.
Yes, it's
car auctions.
It's called Festival Park. It's called Festival Park on 301. And the most amazing thing about that is that every Wednesday I do an auction right next door to there. At the auction house right next door there. What is the date of that deal? It is on 301. It's probably about 12 miles north of Tampa on 301. It's on a place called Festival Park for you folks that have never been there. Twice a year, they do a swap meet auction and race there, where they race these old cars. And don't think that these guys aren't putting on a show. Talk to the folks a little bit more about the date of this one coming up, and what your expectations are for the race there, if you know the days they're going to be racing and what kind of cars they're going to race.
Well, like I say, it'll be November 8th through 11th, and we'll run approximately, hopefully we can get on the track around 10 o'clock in the morning, and we'll run through to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We will have sprints, midgets, stock cars. They will range. Sometimes you never know what year of age you're going to have, but we'll have some midgets that run in the 30s and 40s. We have some big cars that go back into 1920s. Of course, stock cars. We're getting pretty heavily into stock cars now, and we have a lot of them. Modifieds, coupes, speeders. We have six-cylinder classes, flatheads, of course, the Chevy V8s, midgets. We'll have Offenhauser-powered cars, maybe some Offenhauser sprints. You pretty well name it. We even had some that were powered by outboard motors, the old Alto motors. And we have Chevy 2 powered cars, Pinto powered cars, anything that went into a race car, we probably will have there. And the racing's free. You pay to get into the admission to the festival park, and that includes everything in there. And they have great grandstands, and we usually have some good announcers, Bob Bailey or Sam Morrow. And anybody knows Sam Morrow, you know you can't shut him up. He's a great announcer for the antiques.
Yeah, and I'd like to... maybe Carol can call you back, and we'll call you back off the air and get his number, because I'd like to hear what happens there. I'm from Tampa, so I know it very well. I've covered it before, and it rains all the time. You know, that's a sad thing. These guys all come out. Kush Rivette's usually got out there, his son, racing the old car, you know, the old stock cars. If you want to see old 55 Chevrolet run, buddy, you can see it race on a track right there, what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, Kush is well known for knocking down the first turn wall.
Yeah, why not? It's there.
He has about 4 inches of Bondo in that right corner. And he now has a topless 57 Chevy. And he's a little cautious with that now. But the Revette's always put on a good show. And, yeah, even old Kush Sr., he comes in there in his motorized scooter and, you know, tries to run us down the pit. So he hasn't changed any. Always a lot of fun to have the Revette's around.
Have you ever been there, Jack, and seen that?
No, but I was thinking about what I saw up at Orange County Speedway in North Carolina. They had a class like that. And I think I've seen what he's talking about over at Auburndale, I'm pretty sure, but they had a class like that. These old, cool cars, they were like, I forget the name of them. I have to look up pictures in there to see what the names of the class was, but they were like these old cars like he's talking about, but they were like modifieds. They were running like some kind of modified motor or something, you know. But it looked really cool to see those kind of cars out there racing on the track today. I mean, it was really cool.
It's interesting because it's almost like taking cars that should be in a museum.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But and you've seen them on pictures of old cars with the old Offenhauser motor or whatever, but they're going to take it out there and they run. They actually get them cranked up and they get them running out there. And some of the classes, you know, like the stock car class, if it's grown, Jimmy, has your racing grown there? How many cars are they getting there to show up now?
Well, we'll have somewhere around 70 cars. I think in February, I think we had about 55 stock cars. We have a lot of sprints come in. We have quite a few sprints in the area, out of Sarasota, Bradenton area. Cage sprints back in the 60s. The stock cars have been really taking over the club quite a bit. And we've been running a Southern Vintage series all summer. And we've got 3 days left on that this year. And we've got Charlotte County on September 29th and Orlando Speed World October 13th, and then we run North Florida Speedway on October 20th, and we get a pretty good turnout, especially in North Florida Speedway. We get a lot of the Georgia boys come down with their what they call Skeeter stock cars, and they're basically a limited late model with a antique body. And those boys with the wing on them, they really run. But we've got some great competition on the pavement, and we've got Richie Evans. We got a couple of Richie Evans cars. Actually, we have about three in a club. We got some great, coupes, and we just got a little bit of everything. And, a lot of anybody looking, want to look at the website, is this daararacing.com. I run that website plus my jimmyjeep.com. And
what is it? Hold on. Is it on your Jimmy Jeep? Is there a link on your Jimmy Jeep?
Yeah, at the bottom of my jimmyjeep.com, there's a link for.
Oh, I see it. Daytona Antique Art. Daytona Antique Auto Racing?
Yeah, Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association.
All right. I'm clicking on it right now so I can look at it and elaborate. Again, folks, I'm going to tell you I really like racing. I like to see other things racing. I've watched these guys many times out there and went out and taken a bunch of pictures of them before. And it's just very interesting to see the old cars because, like I said, I'm a native Floridian and I'm from Tampa, so I remember the old fairgrounds, in downtown Tampa and seeing guys racing down there, like Jan Opperman and people like that back in the early days of racing. I'm 41 years old, so I've seen some of that. I was there as Golden Gate was going on its way out, and I like to see some of these old cars still being kept alive and being raced out there.
Yeah. Well, then our classic car and my photo gallery and our classic cars, there's a few shots in there from the old Plant City or Plant Fairgrounds in Golden Gate. We ask people, anybody wants to send them in, we'd love to have the pictures put on the website and the people to understand what went on locally. And we have we've got a pretty good tight points going right now in the Southern Vintage Series. A lot of guys, it doesn't pay anything, but it's a real close competition, and
it doesn't pay anything.
No, we'll give them a shiny trophy.
So they got midgets, they there got sprints, go. They got V8 stock cars. Look at that. Look at all the V8 stock cars that they've got. They got more V8 stock cars than some of these tracks have.
Mini stocks or bombers or whatever.
They got a six-cylinder and flathead class. You know, these guys are putting on a good show. I want you folks to go out and check them out. There you go. All them cars got them old Franklin rear ends in them, which we're going to have Jamie Franklin on here one day, too. That's another guest that I want to have in here. Well, Jimmy, it was good to talk to you. We've got to keep rolling on. We got more guests. We got more stuff to talk about, and I appreciate you being on Inside Florida Racing.
Jimmy, thank you very much for your time and your information.
Keep on pushing.
And we'll keep on talking to you, too.
And remember, that's Jimmy G.
The information, just email me at either link, either address there, and I'll take care of anybody.
What is the web address?
JimmyJeep.com.
Oh, JimmyJeep.com. Okay.
JimmyJeep.com, and you can get a hold of him and check out the Daytona Auto Racers on November 8th through the 11th. Thank you, Jimmy. We got to go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Night, right. Jimmy.
Okay, we got to go to break, man.
Yeah.
We got to go to break.
Yeah, let's do it. Ooh, yeah.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered. But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches. And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog.
Crack open a Bud Light.
Because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish.
Man, that was some good beer. Yeah, sure was some good Bud Light.
Hi, I'm Jim Dygert from Keels and Wheels Magazine.
Beautiful.
You're listening to Real Racing USA.
Yeah. Your mom's listening to Real Racing USA, too. All right.
Everybody's listening.
You're back.
Everybody's listening.
We're back. Inside Florida Racing, we're back.
We're back.
We're back. We're
and
back.
Everybody
we're ready
is
to do,
listening.
We're ready. Good.
Including Mr. BJ Cavan, who's going to give us 3 minutes of fame from Ocala.
BJ Cavan, 3 minutes of fame. Let's hear your 3 minutes of fame at your track.
Okay, before we even get started, I'm going to tell you right now, registration is open for the 12 hours of Ocala.
Stop, hold it.
What kind of phone are you on?
I thought that was going to be a problem. Are you in a weird spot?
I don't know, am I?
Yeah, the phone connection is horrible. I was hoping it would be clearer once we started. I'll tell you what, we're going to call you back in a few, okay?
All right, that sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, because you sound terrible there. So there it goes. That shot a hole in that 3 minutes.
Oh, man, and we were on it. We were on it, too.
Folks, remember, 941-426-6760. If you've got something you want to shout out to us or to some racer out there that you want to talk about, if we're not talking about the things we should be and you want to tell us who we should be having on the show, call us, 941-426-6760. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things today, but Carol, you got to go to Orlando Speed World and see Ricky Carmichael.
I certainly did. And the people up there are awesome. The track is awesome.
Yeah, what did you think about the track? Remember we were talking about when you go there and you look at this track, you're going to say, wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool, wasn't it?
It's different. It's actually, I didn't really know anybody there except Dickie Owens and Ricky Carmichael, so I spent a lot of time with... Are we on?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. With the Carmichaels and learned a lot about Ricky and...
How did he race? How did he do with this car?
He didn't do too bad. He had the pole, and he wound up coming in fourth. Now, you got to remember, this kid does not have a whole lot of seat time.
Listen to me.
What?
To have the pole and to finish fourth sounds good to me. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. BJ, you there?
No, no, no. This is CCMP, Linda.
CCMP, Linda, are you
Linda.
There?
Linda!
Good evening.
Three minutes of fame.
You've got your 3 minutes of fame. Let's hear it. What's going on?
Okay, Saturday. This Saturday, we got the super late models, we hope, with no rain in sight, right?
No rain. Keep going. Go, go, go.
Sportsman 50. We got the Florida Outlaw Street Stock 50 Lapper, Thunder Trucks Road Warriors, Fab Four and Pro Fours. And he wanted to say some couple winners from this week. We just happened to have a girl coming out doing an article for Lee Magazine this Saturday on women racing.
Right.
Rose Mocco won her first feature win in the Fab Fours.
Who?
Was that Rose Mocco? She drives the four, the number four Fab Four.
All right.
First time.
All right.
And Anne-Marie came in fourth, so it was a good night for Lee Magazine, the people coming out doing articles on women in racing.
Are they going to interview me on Saturday night?
You women in racing?
All right, now.
Good fast truck race. Terry Price was in the number three. And
tell us about Terry Price. I hear he was a show in himself.
He did an awesome job. He started in the rear. You know, yeah, there was only seven trucks and everything, but, you know, made it to, like, third or something in the second lap or something, but on the last lap, you know, they say, I don't know, brake check and bump, you know, bump and run. Last lap, tap them enough just to loosen them up, take the checker and win the race. And the fans were really, they really loved it because it was a really good show.
The fans were screaming. They were jumping out of their seats. He put on the best show I've seen there in a long time.
We had 10 open wheels, which was fairly decent. You know, we were glad with that. Eric Rudd out of Naples won the open wheel race. The boat race, we had eight or nine boats, which were Bobby kind of did something a little different. Instead of having the guys bring the boats and having them welded and chained and all that so they never fall off, he had them use this rope, you know, like marine rope or something. So boats were flying everywhere, off the trailers, up in the air, flipping over and everything. So the fans stayed till the very end. Let me tell you, we had two rainouts. It rained twice. We no sooner got the track dry and it rained again. I think it was the only place, and we got everything in 11:29.
You know what you forgot?
Mango Man was
it. That's what you forgot.
The what? Mango Man was the winner of the boat race at 11:29 and climbed the fence like Tony Stewart. So.
All right, your time's up, Linda. Thank you. We will call you.
Good
next
job,
week.
Linda. That was awesome.
Super late models this week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about that in a minute anyways because I'm going to be there.
Next weekend. And then the Hatfields versus the McCoys on, what date is that? September 29th.
Hey, listen, we're going to have you on again next week. Don't worry. Get your story straight. All right, we got
to
go.
Prepare for this racing.
No, okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye Linda. Thank you.
There you go, folks. Charlotte County Motorsports Park, super late models, 100 laps this week. And that's right, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be racing for the win, man. I found some stuff that was wrong with my car. Jack, man, did I tell you? My brakes haven't been working. You might say, well, you don't use no brakes there.
You don't use brakes there anyway.
If you don't have good brakes, you can't properly drive down the corners like these young men are doing these days. These guys are really driving down the corners and driving hard. And I've been talking about how the brakes have been so different. I realize my brake bias cable's been broke. So I haven't been able to get no front brake in the car.
While we're talking about Charlotte County.
No front brakes. It's been all rear. So every time I get on the brakes, it's about turning around. So. I've got my stuff ready. I'm calling out all you super late model racers out there. No matter who you are, you need to be at Charlotte County Motorsports Park on Saturday for the super late model race. And I hear that there has been some talk with the man Jimmy Cope that he's going to do what he can to be there. I hear Johnny K is going to be there. I hear the number 10 car.
Steve Dora.
I send him money all the time for race car engineering for all my stuff. I can't remember his name. I just call him race car engineering.
I'll tell you He'll what, did there. You ask Scott Walters if he was going to be there?
Is he on the phone?
Did you ask him if he was going to be there?
You know what?
I was trying to get Rocket Man
to come when he drove it, so I don't know if the car owner will bring it.
Ask him now.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Scott, are you bringing it?
How y'all doing?
Are you bringing the 94 down or what?
That is a good question. Like I said, I was on vacation last week and haven't had time to talk to Adam and to see exactly what we're doing this weekend.
Well, it'd be nice if he let you know a little bit ahead of time, wouldn't it? Or I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Scott, welcome to Real Racing USA's Inside Florida Racing.
Yes, this is Bonehead here, who me and you have raced on the track before at time or another.
Yes, sir.
You got Carol Wicks in here. She's a super fan, and she is a super fan. She loves all you late model drivers out there, and I'm excited to have you on the show and going to have Rocket on the show there. I wanted to find out what the story was there. You know, I've been wanting to race with my little buddy there somewhere besides DeSoto, and now he's not racing the car. Now you are. So are you going to come? Call Adam right now and ask him.
Yeah, I'll give him a call and see what's going on.
I mean, it's going to be a good show, and no reason why you can't be there.
That's right.
So what have you been doing? What have you been doing these days?
Actually, I was in the process of building a brand new race car. Just about had the car completed when Adam Heckelman, which is the crew chief of the 94 car, gave me the call, and we sat down and talked, and asked me to drive the car, and so I kind of just put my new car on the burner and looking forward to driving that car.
That must be nice, man. That's a nice call to get.
It is. I mean, this day and time, with the cost of racing, the competition that's out there, you have to bring your A game every race. And I feel like being a part of the JTW racing team, that will help me perform better on the racetrack just because of the support that we have behind the team.
Absolutely. What do you say about what do you think about what's going to happen with racing with our economy continuing to, you know, costing us more for everything? Do you think it's having an effect with racing today?
I'm sure it will, some way or another. I mean, everybody loves racing. Sometimes we'd rather go without eating than miss a race, you know. So these racers, we're all pretty crazy. So we'll get by the rough times, and just look forward to hopefully everything does come back around so everybody can get back on their feet.
Well, let's get to know Scott a little bit now that we're going to see you in that what number
94.
One? Yes.
94.
From what I understand, didn't you at one time race NASCAR?
Yes, I did. I ran All Pro from like 91 to 96, and then got a phone call to run the Craftsman Truck Series for 2 years. And after that deal went south, more or less moved to Florida. My wife and I started back racing late models again, and I just been kind of in and out of our car, other people's cars, and just enjoy racing so much it's just hard to get it out of your system.
Where you live at now?
I live in Naples.
Okay.
And like I said, I've been racing for a very long time. Started out back in 85, 86 with the street stocks and moved into the late models. And All-Pro was a very, very good series to run to get experience on all different length racetracks. And then when I moved into the Craftsman Truck Series, I was better prepared, you know. So I feel like the ASA series is a great series for these young kids to get the experience to make the next step. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, now the young kids, the next step for them in a lot of cases is getting into these super late models, and they get right in them, and they got no problems with them either.
No, they sure don't. You know, they do a good job. Either their parents have the money behind them to make sure that they do it right the first time, or they get hooked up with a veteran crew chief to kind of point them in the right direction.
You know, Scott, too, one of the coolest things about that is every one of those races in the ASA, I mean, they all are tough. They're extremely close on the qualifying times, and you never know who's going to win until it comes right down to the end.
That's right. I think that has a lot to do with the crate engine program. It kind of goes back to the driver and the crew chief setting the car up to be able to keep the car running as free as possible because of the horsepower that the engines lack. So I think that's a good way for these kids to, and even veterans, to learn how to drive a race car that's underpowered and still get the job done.
Yeah, and it's definitely more affordable. I mean, there's no doubt that racing has always been expensive in all these classes as they go up. Also, you know, the cost of racing goes up with them. So the ASA offering an affordable way to build you a car, and like you said, the Crate Motor Program offers, you know, even power plants, which makes for competitive racing. And, you know, that goes either way. You know, some fans say they like competitive racing. Other fans just like their favorite driver just to whip everybody every week.
Well, that's fun, too. You know, I've been able to win my share of races, so I've been on both ends of that. Only thing you can ask for is just to go out and give 110%, have fun, and go from there.
Yes, it's a requirement to have fun for me these days. I see a lot of people that are still racing today, and I don't think they're having fun at it, you know. And if the fun factor goes away, I think that, I don't know, the fun, you got to keep the fun factor there, at least at my age, at 41.
You know, I mean, that's, no matter what kind of sport you're in, you have to be able to have fun at it to enjoy it and to do, you know, to try to perform the best that you can.
How old are you now, Scott?
I'm 39.
So you still got the drive to work on your car, or it gets tougher and tougher to work on it, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I've worked on it all my life. I like being able to work on them, understand the front-end geometry. I think working on them hands-on has helped me through my career just to understand racing better. Don't run into the corner and knock your fenders off because I'm the one who has to put them back on.
Mm-hmm.
So that also makes you a better racer, be smarter on the racetrack, a little more patient. And then once you get the car where it can go to the front, and then just go at a smarter pace instead of going in knocking people out of the way.
I agree with all that. Sounds good.
You've been doing most of your racing up there at DeSoto. Will you be moving around more now?
Well, I hope so. Like I said, we're just now starting to get going in the 94 car. We raced one race so far.
Where was that?
Together. At DeSoto, qualified second, got turned into the wall on about the seventh lap. So then I went on vacation, so now we're looking forward to getting back racing again.
Who turned you around?
It was just a racing deal.
Who was it?
I don't want to say. It was just a young driver racing hard.
Okay.
And he kind of lost it and got into me and put me into the wall. So
DeSoto's a tough place to get in the wall there, let me tell you.
Yeah, you run pretty fast there. Yeah. You know, you hit hard, and it tears a lot of stuff up. So it wasn't a very good outing, but at least we qualified good. And I was trying my best when it happened, and then that's all I can ask for.
I will say that you come home and you win a race at DeSoto, man. You ran a hard race that night.
Yes, sir.
Because
25 laps there for the competition. You accomplished something.
You ain't lying, because it's a tough place, man. Well, Scott, you know, I hope you have good luck there with the 94 car. And who's the owner of the car?
The owner of the car is John and Donna Johnstone. They've been in racing with the 94 bunch, I guess, since it started maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
All right.
Nice family. Like I said, I'm honored to drive the car. It's a great opportunity for me at this time, with, like I said earlier, with the price of racing, to be able to run on somebody else's dollar is always good, but they really want to race and want to win. And Adam puts together a very nice race car, so that kind of made the decision to go with them pretty easy.
Good things come to good people.
Well, I hope so. That's all I've ever tried, is to be good to everybody, race hard and clean, and hopefully you're right. You know, things will happen with this team, with JTW Racing, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
So what's your take on the driver switch?
I'm sure, I mean, I probably won't know the whole story from either side. It's really none of my business. I think sometimes change is good. Wayne did an awesome job. I feel like in the car, he won, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 races with the team. But like I said, sometimes it's just good to change. And just fortunately for me, you know, I got the phone call to take over driving, and hopefully Wayne will get another opportunity to drive a super late model. He is a good racer, and I'm sure he'll find something.
Yeah, I hope it works out for you, Scott. And if it doesn't, would you slide him my number?
Okay, I will. Not a problem.
And I certainly hope we get to see you once in a while down at Charlotte County Speedway, because we like to see good racing.
Well, I'll
well, you could go up and see him at DeSoto.
I could.
You could go up and see him.
Hey, y'all stop arguing over there. Definitely, Scott. Tell him that you want to kind of branch out a little bit and race beside DeSoto. And, you know, listen, for the reason why they're running DeSoto, John's got a great program going there. Next year, it's going to include Charlotte County Motorsports Park and DeSoto Speedway together. John and Bobby are working those things out. So we're going to be racing together, buddy, if not sooner than later. Don't worry.
Well, good deal. I mean, I enjoy Charlotte County. I've raced there before. I've won in a modified. It is a very fun racetrack. I can say that the fans support the racetrack a great deal. You know, I think that's a great thing to have behind the racetrack is the fan support.
Yes.
I go up and watch all the time, but I just never had the opportunity to drive anything till now. So hopefully I can talk Adam and the 94 bunch to go and have some fun at Charlotte County.
Yeah, wow. they got to drive by it every time they go to DeSoto.
That's right, they sure do.
Well, and there's also some pretty big Sunbelt races, too. And you got the Clyde Hart Memorial on the 29th of September, and then the big race, the Florida Governor's Cup 200 on November 17th, man. And the Cecil Williams deal is October the 13th, I do believe.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of good racing to go yet this season.
Oh, there always
not
is.
Not to mention Five Flags. So
there always is great racing in Florida. That's yes, one thing I can say. You want to see super late models run, you want to see some fast cars, just look around a little in the state of Florida and you can find them. Scott, listen, we got to get rolling. I appreciate you coming on to the show, and we'll see each other out there on the track.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you all very much for having me on.
Carol, what do you got?
Just going to say thank you and wish you the best of luck, Scott. You there?
What'd you do? Hang up on him already? I can't believe it. Jack's already in calling mode. He's so excited. He's all excited with the speed round. He's just over there trying to dial some people up.
The guy, the person you're talking to doesn't have to be on the line while you're talking.
We got a phone call.
They hear you.
We got a phone call. Remember, if you want to call 941-426-6760. What's the number, Carol?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
I'm just wondering if you're paying attention.
I think it's 941-426-6760.
And what can they tell us when they call that number?
Anything they want.
That's right. You can call Jack a butthole if you want. I don't
no,
care.
No, you can't.
Well, if you say it like
but
that, you
can. Definitely call Alting one.
I'm excited for Scott there. You know, he's got a nice opportunity there with a good ride. And we'll get Rocket Man on the phone here sometime tonight and find out his story of exactly
Scott's
what's going on there.
Scott's one of the finest racers in the state of Florida.
I think that he is.
I wish him the best of everything.
Over
yes.
the years, he's done a great job in racing, and he's raced a lot of things, you know. And I always – that was always my thing, was I wanted to race at as many different racetracks as I could when I was racing and could afford to. And I used to find that very exciting to go – to different places.
Oh, absolutely. You should. You know, I mean, that's.
Yeah, I would have never met, you know, some of the people and racers that I've met. Obviously, we do this show and we talk to people, and I know a lot of them, and that's from these traveling ways.
How about this? How about we do this? Ocala speed round, 3 minutes of
three
fame.
3 minutes of fame.
Take two.
We got
okay,
BJ
let's see
there.
If we can do it. Let's see if it'll
okay,
work.
Okay, let's see if it'll happen now.
Let's
okay,
see if
you ready? Go.
Okay, here we go. Let's try this again.
All right. Ocala, 3 minutes of fame.
The endurance race is coming up, all right? You've got to get registered for this race. The registration has been opened up. You can go to ocalaspeedway.com and download the registration form. Already got some people that are interested in doing the endurance race. It's coming up on October 20th this year. It'll run from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., rain or shine. So if you've got a car and you want to find out what the rules are and everything, go to ocalaspeedway.com. Also, registration is already open for the $10,000 Turkey Run Enduro. That's coming up on Sunday, November 25th this year. It was scheduled for that Saturday, but since the Florida State Games that day, we decided we would postpone it until Sunday. So that registration for that race is open also, and the first that registers gets the first starting spot. We're going to do it in order like we normally do.
Already we've got several cars registered, but you won't be that far back if you want to go ahead and get in on that. Coming up this week at Ocala Speedway, 50-lap, $1,000 to win sportsman race. Already had some guys over last Friday night from over at Citrus County and some other speedways that brought their sportsman cars over to give it a try. Mike Beltman from Citrus did very well. He ended up finishing second in the sportsman race Friday night. So I'm sure he'll be back for that race.
But what is it y'all are paying? $5,000 to win for that race? How much?
Paying
$1,000. Oh, $1,000. Okay.
$1,000 to win.
They ain't going to give them Citrus boys more than a grand to come up there and take their money.
You want me to tell you how you have you about 40 cars there? Put up about $4,000 to win one of them races right there and watch how many of them cars come out of the woodwork. Your tech man would be shooting himself in the foot. What was his name? Tech man? DQs
Travis.
Everyone?
Yeah, Travis would definitely have.
Yeah, Travis.
Okay, $1,000 to win. I didn't mean to get in the middle of your 3 minutes. Tell us about some of your drivers that you've got there. Shoot me a couple of your real good drivers out there that you want to get some notoriety for them.
Sure, man. We got one right now that is absolutely on fire in our V8 Pure Stock, the number 57 car of Matt Schell. Now, this guy, I tell you, just a few weeks ago, this guy, in 1 week, the rear end came out of the car. The thing was a mess. He took it home. He rebuilt the rear end. He brought it back. The very following week, the engine grenaded. The guy looked like he was just out of it. Put a new engine in the car. He was gone for about 3 weeks. Came back. He is now absolutely on fire. Nobody can touch him.
What's his name?
Matt Schell. Has he been through check?
Yes, he has, and he has passed.
Matt Schell, is that any related to Chip Schell?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Another good racer from times back. I don't even know where he's at these days. Chip used to win some races there when Hooters used to run that limited show there.
Man,
remember that name, Chip Schell?
Are you taking this man's 3 minutes?
You know, it's always nice when we can talk about other things. Go ahead. Who's another driver you got there?
Oh, gosh. Well, everybody knows about Speedy Pete Close.
Well, we don't want to talk about him. Talk about somebody that everybody doesn't know. You just ruined it for him.
We don't need to talk about Speedy Pete because everybody knows all about that. I got to tell you about this kid named Brian Brogan.
Tell us.
This kid is the grandson of one of our V8 Pure Stock racers. They put him in the car and put him in our Thunderstock class on Friday night, and the kid, first time he's ever been in a race car, first time he's ever been in a race, finished third.
Wow.
How about that?
That's impressive.
Absolutely. And the kid made very...
How old is this boy?
I'm not sure. He's a teenager. I'll have to get his age and everything for you.
I mean, approximately.
Yeah, approximately. He's probably about 16 or 17.
Okay, your 3 minutes are coming up.
Good
you
job.
Did a good job. We will call you next week. You never know when we're going to call you, actually. You never know.
Thanks, BJ.
Appreciate it, BJ. Ocala Speedway. And be looking out for those guys that he was talking about.
Hey. And you got to go to realracingusa.com and read BJ's weekly column, man.
Okay. Realracingusa.com.
See you, BJ.
All right. We'll see y'all.
Thank you,
good
man.
Good night.
Ocala Speedway.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing? Give me another number.
We're getting ready to go to break here. We're going to have a little bit of an
I'm too excited.
Break. Do you know what he just did?
What? He excited you,
oh
man.
Oh, my God.
You're about
it's
to bust the
same
buttons.
Day. Look, this event, this 12-hour of Ocala
okay,
event,
yeah.
This is absolutely one of the coolest things you've ever seen in your life.
And it's on the same day as?
It's on the same day as the Auburndale Big Time $5,000 to win super modified race they're having up there.
Okay, well, they're two different cars then, right?
I know, but I can't be in two cars.
Well, I thought it was going to be like a thing like these late model promoters do and have their two big late model races of the year all on the same day. Don't you hate that?
Oh, go ahead.
Nothing sucks worse than that when the two late model promoters that everybody likes has their two biggest races of the year and they're on the same day.
Well, you know,
hopefully those days are over.
Yeah, hopefully those. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to break. And,
let's do it.
This is going to be a little bit. We got a little thing coming up right after the break, and then later on in the show here, we're still going to talk to Wayne Jefferson and get to the bottom
Rocket
of this
Man.
92 deal.
Carol, did you get any of that Monster Energy drink from Ricky? You need to get some. You need to drink
if
it.
If I can get a hold,
because this show's going to pick
think
up in
you
a minute.
Drank about
we're fixing
a
to go
55 gallons.
And if I can get a hold of Rick Angie's before the show's over, he'll tell us who that young kid was that put Scott Walters in the wall.
All right, that sounds good.
And then,
of course he will.
We're
he
also
going to
talk
fear.
To.
Jason Garver later on the show.
Beautiful.
So I think we should just, like, get rid of the psycho crap here, and what do you think?
I think you should just let your hair down and go with it there, Brett. By the way, I'm calling him Brett because he's wearing his big number 4 Green Bay Cheesehead Packer jersey.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
I must say, every time we hear a plane coming up overhead, it gets a little nervous where we are. Whatever is happening and whoever is responsible, we have no way of knowing if it's played out yet or if it's just going on. So every time we hear a plane go by, we wonder what the situation is and where it is. One plane crashed into the tower, the World Trade Center tower on the right, the first of those towers that you can see behind me. And then about a half hour later, a second plane crashed into the tower number 2. That's the one to the left, where the darker smoke is billowing out right now. CNN has been told that one of the planes was an American Airlines 767.
America, our blessed nation, suffers today terribly.
Harry got up, dressed all in black, went down to the station, and he never came back. They found his clothing scattered somewhere down the track, and he won't be down on Wall Street in the morning. He had a home, love of a girl, but men get lost sometimes as years unfurl. Cross some line and he was too much in
well. We just had another view of the second plane going in.
It just collapsed.
Lying here in the darkness, hear the sirens wail. Somebody gone to emergency. Somebody's gone to jail. You find somebody to love in this world, you better hang on to the nail. The wolf is always at the door.
Just a few minutes ago, we don't know if something happened, another explosion. It just collapsed.
In these days, darkness falls early. People rush home to the ones they love. You better take a fool's advice. Take care of your own.
I tried all day to call people. I could not call anyone in New York City the whole day.
Terrorists sought to use fear as a weapon against every person in this nation. They do not know America, and they do not know Americans. It is our strength. We will need that strength in the days ahead.
Shoulders took a walk down through the park. Leaves were falling around me, groaning city in the gathering dark. On some solitary rock, a desperate lover left his mark. Baby, I've changed. Please come back. But the head makes cloudy. Heart makes very clear. You know the days were so much brighter. The time when she was here. I know there's somebody somewhere. Make these dark clouds disappear. Until that day, I have to believe. I believe, I believe. In a New York minute.
America's united. The freedom-loving nations of the world stand by our side. This will be a monumental struggle of good versus evil, but good will prevail.
All right.
I must say, every time we hear a plane coming up overhead, it gets a little.
We're back.
We're back. On the eve of 9/11, terrible tragedy that happened to our country, that every one of us can remember what we were doing on that tragic morning when we heard of it, and we were all just sitting here reminiscing, if you will, about what we were doing on that day. And for, you know, our basic generation, that's the biggest thing that's ever happened to this country pretty much in my lifetime. And I just say, my own personal opinion, we need to continue the fight, and, you know, so we can make sure that we don't have travesties that take out 2,500 people at a time. again. And we definitely need to find that Bin Laden character. Now, I didn't see the thing on the news. Is it the real guy or is it somebody dressed like
him? It's the real guy that's telling us we should all start believing in Islam and just mocks us every chance he gets.
You know, what's bad is he's mocking their religion is what he's doing, because there's plenty of good Islams and Muslims and stuff like that out there. And I don't have anything against them as much as him and the way that they believe with their particular religion. And their disdain for Americans is just unbelievable. So I have disdain for him. Anyways, let's get back to Inside Florida Racing. That's what you're listening to. And we've got Wayne Jefferson.
The Rocket Man!
Is he on there now?
He's on there.
Is he on there?
Hey, Wayne.
Hello.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
Rocket Man, what's up, my man?
What's up, buddy?
Now, you talking
He's
about...
He's on Monster Juice,
so
Wayne.
We hear that you're standing out on a corner. Somebody said they saw you standing at the corner of 49th and Almerton. We'll drive for food.
Oh,
yeah. That's right.
All right, what's your side of the story? We just talked to the other side.
Wayne, you got to laugh at him, honey. He's feeling feisty tonight.
He doesn't, well, listen.
You just talked to the other side of who?
No, we just talked to Scott Walters, and he doesn't know anything about anything. So what's the story? How come you're not driving that car?
It was just one of them deals. You know, that deal, is they treat it like a business. And Adam, the crew chief there, Adam Heckelman, he, you know, that's his job. You know, that's how he makes his money and pays his bills, with, you know, supports his family. And he has to watch out, you know, for what is most important for, you know, him and his team. And we just got to a situation where, you know, I'm really competitive, and I felt like I could do a lot better than we were doing. And for whatever reason, I couldn't figure out what, you know, why we weren't doing better. And I mean, we had some success, but just not like I want, you know, not like I've had in the past. And it was just one of them deals where a couple of months ago I talked to him and told him, you know, I was frustrated with the way we were running, and we were just weren't being able to figure it out. I wasn't able to feel the car like I wanted. And I told him, you know, I consider maybe putting somebody else in the car, either to, you know, drive it or you know, just put them in the ride, and I'll go, you know, we can go our separate ways, or, you know, something at least to try to figure out where the problem is to get better. So that. They said, no, you know, everything's good. You're our driver. We want you to stay in the car. You know, we're happy with the way things are going as far, you know, with you as a driver. So we just kept going with it, basically, with that being said. And then it just kind of built up. And then the biggest issue that I had with it was, you know, we had went to Lakeland, which is, I want to go to Lakeland. I love Lakeland. But we were running in the points in the Super there at DeSoto, and we're leading and or second there, like 6 points out. And we basically shouldn't have went to Lakeland, but we did, and we just had a bad showing there, and we had a, you know, some bad attitudes, and it just, things didn't go the way we wanted them, and we just didn't communicate as well as we need to be, and I got frustrated, and I wouldn't come in the pits and to try to work on the car, you know, and he wanted to come in the pits, but we were having radio communication problems at the same time. So, you know, it was hard to communicate about what was getting said or what we wanted done. And so it basically just came to a head at Lakeland. And after that, we, on Monday, Adam called me and said, you know, I think we're just going to go ahead and find somebody else to drive the car. And I said, you know, that's fine. You know, I said, I don't know, you know, where our problem lies. I said, I think, you know, both of us are just so competitive. But we see things totally different. It's like two different worlds, you know. And Adam's a really, really smart guy, and he works really, really hard. I mean, harder than I've ever seen anybody work on a race car. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of time that he spends doing things and the critique that he has. But it just, for whatever reason, it was all about the performance. It's all about winning, and that's what he wanted, and that's why they changed drivers before and put me in the car looking for that. And we had some of it, but it just, you know, we're looking to go to the next step now, and, you know, like we talked about, I brought them up another notch or two from where they were, but then, you know, we're looking to get to the next level, and we just weren't together. We weren't able to come up with it, so we decided to part ways, and I told them, you know, we left on decent terms and said that, you know, maybe someday I'll drive for them again, and, you know, if they needed anything, call me, and vice versa. So I even told them, you know, I said, I think some of the problem was I didn't get to be down there and put my hands on the race car.
So, which is what I've done all my life. Everything I've ever driven, I've had control over. So, you know, it's just one of them deals where he's 3 hours away, and I'm not able to ever beat around the race car except at the racetrack. You know, and he works on it all by himself, and then all the guys show up on Saturday to help. You know, and it was hard to get a mix going there that worked without everybody being together during the week and seeing what goes on and having their hands on it. So they just, you know, decided to take another path, and, you know, it was no hard feelings by any means. You know, I was glad to be able to drive for them for when I did, and I had a fun time, and they got a good, you know, they got a good group of guys, and they got a good, you know, setup. They cook in and they grill out, you know, it's a nice show, you know, but just had to make a business decision, basically.
So now what are you going to do there, Wayne? Where are you going to go?
Yeah, I got the modified deal, so we're going to finish it out. We kind of got messed up a little bit this year with it because I was leading the Gulf Coast modified points, and then I was leading the late model points at the same time, and then they had a race on the same night. One was in Bronson, and the other was at DeSoto, and I had to pick one or the other that night in May, and I picked the late model to stick with and gave up the points lead in the modified, and then now I ended up out of the deal with the late model. And it kind of screwed me out of the points in the modified. But we got one race left, which is this weekend at DeSoto for the Gulf Coast, and I'm 30 points out, and I have an opportunity to still win it, but it's just probably going to be pretty thin, you know, if there's not a big car count, and if Cooper or one of them guys there doesn't have a bad showing, you know, and we win, then obviously we probably won't win it. But, you know, we still got this deal with DP Racing with Chet and Norma with the modified, and we're just going to continue on with that. They're going to be changing the rules, going to the big motors, back to the big motor stuff. So we're going to be building a couple motors. And, you know, I got my son now. He's a year and a half old. I get to spend a little more time with him and, you know, just take a different route. And if the opportunity ever arises again, you know, we'll drive for somebody or something. But, I'm not pursuing anything.
It sounds like that little trouble in the camp there to me, but I think that you're going to be fine with the way that you've been over the years. You know, we've known each other for many years, and I remember when you were first starting to race there when I was in the street stocks, you know. Those were hard days, you know, and I remember how hard you used to work on the car with Bill and, you know, Chet, as hard as he used to work to try to race and stuff, you know, and it's funny to see where, you know, everybody goes, you know, that racing always seems to be there, and the classes are always seem to be there, and it's just what kind of deal that you can work. So I would imagine you'll find your way in somebody's ride sometime.
Yeah, I mean, I just like having fun. The modified is a lot more fun and a lot less stress, and the super late model is a really serious business. If you want to be, you know, a front runner and contender around the state of Florida, you got to spend a lot of money and a lot of time on it. And, you know, it's one of them deals, like I said, where I couldn't be a part of the weekly, you know, maintenance on the car. And just, you know, being able to stand there and work with Adam hand in hand, I think I could have learned a lot from him, but he could have probably learned a lot from me. Mm-hmm. And we could have learned a lot from each other about each other, which is what I think we didn't get to do. So, you know, I told him when we split up, I said, you know, you probably need to find somebody that's down there by you, you know, that can come to the shop and give you a hand, and y'all can sit down and talk and look at notes and look at race car parts and look at things that are going on and work together and make decisions together instead of, you know, me and Adam are always on the phone. That was all the closest we could get with it, you know, and I trusted what he did, you know, but like I said, I mean, I couldn't show him if there was something I thought was different. I could never show him because, you know, I wasn't standing there. So it was just one of them deals. I mean, like I said, I had a great time. They were great guys, and John, the owner, is a great guy, and I wish him the best. We'll just move on and see what happens, see what the future holds.
I think in a couple of years we'll be watching you building a car for Chase.
Yeah, I want to be in the go-kart program soon anyway. It's probably not going to matter.
Your whole life is going to change in a couple of years here.
Yeah,
mine too. I'm fixing to have one in October. A boy in October, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Wayne, for what it's worth, man, you gave a lot of people a lot of thrills when you were racing that car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss seeing you in it. I think the world of Scott. Well, Scott's a great guy, but I still want to see the Rocket Man out there.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It might work out again. Like I said, me and Adam talked about it, and he even said, you know, maybe we can do it again at a different time, different frame of mind, different situations or something. But, I mean, I don't know what anybody else has said, but, you know, it's not been any hard feelings whatsoever. So, I mean, it was a total, you know, agreement, and then we just move on. You know, he, you know, I was the second guy to drive the car as it was. You know, Chris Turner was the first. So I mean, it's just you know, been a progressive thing where they've tried to move on and get better, and then you know they need different stepping stones to get there. So
you talk about somebody who's hurting to want to race a car is Turner.
Yeah, I know.
Oh man,
limited when he can. So I talked to him there after we parted ways.
He's supposed to be there this week.
He said he was going to be racing down there a lot. So.
So you're going to come down and visit us?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. I want to get down there a little more, but, I mean, you know, the scheduling is such an issue. I mean, just like this weekend, right, or whenever, the last time they had a big race somewhere, they had a race down there, and it's just, it was one of them deals where I couldn't get there, you know, just schedule conflicts. So.
I can't believe there's nobody in St. Peter Clearwater that won't get off their tired little wallet there and get a car for you.
Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen. You watch.
Oh, it's just a matter of time.
Ain't no doubt.
So many people hate Wayne over there in Clearwater.
Well, you know, Wayne, this is now the perfect opportunity. See,
to
now,
move.
Now you have the time to pursue your media career.
You're right.
That's right. You're supposed to be doing a show.
You're right. I'm going to start doing that, actually. So, see, that's what I mean. There just ain't been enough time. And now it's actually opened up me to have a little more free time to try to do some other things that I've been interested in doing. So, you know, everything happens for a reason, and maybe I don't know what it is yet, but I'm sure something's going to come along, and then I'm going to stand back and go, you know, this is why it happened right here, because I needed the time to do this, you know. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. That's a good way to think about it, Wayne, because that's how a lot of us racers live our lives, because we like to race, but we have to do everything else too, and things have got to fall together a certain way in order for these to work out. So
yeah, and it's just one of them deals, and it you know, it ain't no big deal really. I mean, I don't feel like nowadays that I have to, you know, used to for a long time, I felt like I had to constantly keep proving myself out, you know, when I go racing, just because it's what I love to do. And I knew everybody watched me a lot and stuff, and I just felt like I always had to prove myself and beat this guy and beat that guy, or I wasn't happy, you know. But now I don't feel that way. I go out and I have fun. I enjoy what I do, and I hang out with everybody, and I just don't feel like I have to prove anything anymore. So it just takes a lot of stress off.
You know, that's almost word for word what Wayne Anderson told me about 2.5-3 years ago. It's unbelievable. It's almost exactly what he said.
And it's just because that's what happens. You get so caught up in it, you don't realize it. You eat up with it. That's all you want to do. You know, I don't do nothing else. I don't go bowling. I don't go fishing. I don't play golf.
You ever had a jet ski? You never had a jet ski?
Yeah, I had a jet ski about 10 years ago, actually.
Oh, man, you need to get one now, man. Those are like the coolest things in the world, to go out and just knock your frustration out with one of them.
Hey, I'll tell you, here's another one for you, man. You want a project. We just got off the phone with BJ Cabot up at Ocala, and you know, they're starting right now to promote the October 20th 12 hours of Ocala. You need to get a car for that thing, man. I'll tell you, I was there last year. That was a cool deal. That was fun.
We got a buddy of mine, Brian Rogers, that I'm helping him get some stuff together. He ran it last year, and I think a transmission or something went out on it.
Yeah.
And he didn't finish, but he was in the lead. So I'm helping him get that car back together and try to get it toughened up there the last 12 hours of racing. And we're going to send him back up there to do that deal too. So
is it one driver?
No, three drivers.
Three drivers.
Three drivers, 12 hours. It's anything you want, as long as it's not a Porsche.
Are you going to drive there, Wayne?
No, well, I'm not planning on driving in 12 hours, but, I mean, I'll probably go up there with Brian or something and be a part of his program and help him do it. He's really excited about doing it. So,
well, you could sure help him out there. Well, folks, Wayne, I appreciate you talking to us here on Inside Florida Racing. Wayne Jefferson, modified extraordinaire, super late model racer. I'm sure we'll see him again. And man with a lot of talent. I tell you, Wayne, the years just keep stacking up, don't they?
They do. They go by so fast. It's unbelievable. And I just look back, and I keep wanting to say I've only been racing 7 or 8 years, and it's already been about 14 years. You know, so it's like, man.
What do you see how fast big. That boy grows?
Yeah, that number's getting big. I used to think when I heard that from somebody else, man, you've been racing forever. Now now I'm saying it, you know. So.
That's cool.
But like,
man,
I said, I enjoy it, and now I enjoy it more than I ever have. So before, I stressed every day, you know, just wanting to try to prove myself, and now it's just so much more enjoyable. So. But I appreciate you guys having me on the show, and
and letting me speak my mind about what's going on, and there's absolutely no hard feelings. Nothing was ever done ugly, and it's, we'll just move on and have fun.
Hey, Wayne, remember with your media career, you can speak your mind quite a bit. Have a good time.
Yeah, so watch out.
All right.
Thank you, Wayne, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I thank y'all.
See you, brother.
Take care.
Take it easy.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Night.
All right, now, man who I raced a lot with there back in the day, I'll tell you, Wayne, a lot of knowledge there, a lot of racing talent, and it's never gone to waste. He's been able to continue to race all this time, you know, so I'm sure he'll end up back in the car. And that's a good story there, you know, about the late model and how it came about. And for people out there to realize that, it's all about business, these cars, you know. It is a business. Even my car and my meager ways that I race and, you know, not even the guy that's out there to win all the time. It's a business. I can't race without sponsorship, you know, to buy the tires and, excuse me, and the fuel.
I never expected anything less of Scott or Wayne because those are two gentlemen, two guys that can really race a car, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to have both of them on to let us know how it really went.
Who's on the phone?
And
we have a 3 minutes of fame doubleheader coming up.
Oh, no.
Yes, because there's one track that races 2 days.
That would be dirt track, probably.
No.
One track that races 2 days.
Dave Westerman, tell us all about it, man.
Oh.
Yeah, good old Orlando Speed World, Friday and Saturday night. Yep.
Okay, Dave, 3 minutes. You're on.
3 minutes of fame. Let's hear it.
Well, we first of all had a chance to welcome Carol Wicks for the first time ever to Orlando Speed World. And hope she had a good night.
Had a wonderful night.
My friend Ricky Carmichael. Yeah. And speaking of Ricky Carmichael, the 15-time AMA motocross and supercross champion.
Are you working for him now? It sounds like you are.
What's that?
Sounds like you're working for him now.
No.
No, I am.
Wanted to let everybody know that he did win his first ever stock car race. Friday night at Orlando Speed World, it was just the heat. But again, that's, you know, you got to start somewhere. And our congratulations to him. He had a good car, but he got skunked a little bit on it. He got restarting the feature event. Got a youngster over in the Tampa area, David Pollen Jr., won his third feature of the year in the Super Late Models. Doing a great job. He's in a great battle with Jared Allison out of Coco for the point championship right now. Jared was second in the race on Friday night, and Patrick Conrad, with a lot of damage to his car, though, held on to that one to finish third. In the modifieds, our winner, actually point leader, Shane Held, crashed in practice after a transmission lockup. He wasn't able to run, so that gave some chance guys a chance to go after him Friday night. Mark Emberson took the win over Hoot Flynn and Gary Fountain Sr. In our sportsman class, it was Andy Nichols pretty much leading all the way there, dominated that one. And we also had a real good run in the super stocks, too, for a guy who hadn't won in a long time, Darren Gould. And I want to congratulate Darren driving his brother David's car. Had a real hot battle there with Lee Wagner, finished up in the second spot. In the mini stocks, Petey Allison looked like he was going to run away with it, but the engine went sour in his car, so R.J. Arnone ended up taking the feature win there over David Russell. David used to run down at Hialeah Speedway, now lives up in Melbourne, and is becoming a regular out at Orlando Speed World. And in our strictly stock class, we had the 25-lap feature, and that was won by Todd McCreary out of Vero Beach. Todd came from the dead last starting position in a field of 21 to take the win there. And in our junior stocks, the winner was Thomas Warnick in the number 9 car. Saturday night, we had a pair of features for the Outlaw Challenge cars. They were won by J.L. Snowden and Ryan Russ. J.L. from Salt Springs and Ryan from down in Port St. Lucie. In the classic cars, Jeff Wright out of Orlando was the winner. In the mini cups, it was Brady Marshall who took the measure of actually really pretty much dominated that field, beating out Devin McLeod in that race. The Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association ran three events. Didn't have a great field of cars, a little low because of the late summer, I guess, but we had a couple of lady drivers take the win, including Sandra Williams, who drove her husband's car for the first time and won the stock car portion, and Roy Campbell won in the sprint cars. Cynthia Hardwick was the winner in the midgets, driving Dale Miller's car. You know, let's see, what else? Oh, we ran the ABC Towing Hurricanes that night. Jim Herb was the winner from E&H Car Crushing right next door to the Speedway. And in the Outlaw Strictly Fox, the winner was Joe Arnold. So a lot of races, a lot of winners. And we've got the Pro Trucks and the Quick Kid Trucks this Friday night at Orlando. And the I know you guys are familiar with the Outlaw Modified, and they are going to be at Orlando on Saturday night. So we got another big week.
Well, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Oh, try to get it all in.
All right, so what's going on I guess you got in Friday and Saturday nights there, didn't you?
Yep.
And he went through all the names of the drivers and everything?
Well, yeah, he did. Now tell us who some of your, in your regular classes there that you run in Orlando, who's some of your...
Who would be your driver of the week? If you had to name a driver of the week for this past week, who would it be?
For this past week, I'd have to nominate Darren Gould. Darren is... he's been a veteran out there for a long time, but he'd been sort of semi-retired for about 3 years. And just a couple of weeks ago, jumped back in his brother David's car. David had built a new superstock car. Darren got in that car and won the feature on Friday night, running a gear that they normally run at New Smyrna Speedway, which is a big half-mile track. So didn't look like he'd lost a step at all. Darren used to win a lot of features back in the early and mid-90s out there when he was racing full-time. Business and whatnot's been sort of curtailing his racing activities, but he hadn't lost a step, so I got to give a little kudos to him. He did a very good job out there Friday night.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. That's your 3 minutes. We'll call you next week.
All righty, guys.
Make sure you pump out Inside Florida Racing and tell everybody to make sure they listen to the show on Monday.
Make sure they listen.
That's right.
All right, Dave. Talk to you later, man. Thanks.
All righty.
All right, who's next?
Don't forget, our people out there can be calling us at 941-426-6760.
We won't answer, but call us anyway.
You call anyway.
Do they have a phone?
No, they don't have dial-up connection. You know, this is almost amusing, but, you know, we started to do this a few months ago, but now we finally got on track. Beginning Thursday night, we're going to have the Real Racing USA Retro Racing Show. And what this is from 1999 until going into 2003, Rick Angies and I did a show. Bill Green had a show. Short Track, his was Short Track USA. And we did Real Racing Talk Radio. And we did, like, a lot of shows every week, you know, pretty much. And some of these shows are really, really cool. They'll have, like, the first time Jay Middleton ever did an interview.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like 12?
Huh?
He's like 12?
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, B.J. McLeod when he was, like, 13, you know. And some really cool stuff. And so we're going to – what we do is between our two shows that we did, we have hundreds and hundreds, obviously hundreds and hundreds of interviews. We're going to take some of the better ones, the classic interviews, and play them on Thursday night. And just to give you an example of this, some of it's absolutely fascinating. In July of 2001, myself and Rick Angies organized a owners meeting because we had some new owners at the time.
Right.
Auburndale had just got new ownership with J.T. Beard and his wife Debbie. The lawyers, Chris and Victoria Feldman, had taken over Charlotte, the two lawyers from Naples. They had taken over Charlotte County Speedway. John Sapricone and his wife Camille had just taken over DeSoto. It was all three owners were brand new, and they all came on at basically the same time. And Stan Colon, who had been at East Bay for a while as the owner and promoter, and these, we got all these guys together at the Snook River Grill, which was then called the Fumble Inn. And they had a big meeting in a private room. We weren't involved. We wanted to make sure they didn't have to put up with us. They had a private meeting that went on for about 2 hours. And then our show came on. Our nightly, you know, Wednesday night show. At that time we did on Wednesday night. And then we interviewed all these guys. That's how we spent the next 2 hours, was interviewing all of these owners after they had spent 2 hours together having a big meeting. And it was an absolute – I'm going to play a little clip here. It's about 3 minutes long. Stan Colon at the conclusion, towards the conclusion of that. But we're going to play that entire 2-hour show on Thursday night. And people get on the message boards today, like on the Florida Stock Car Racing message board on Karnak, and they talk about, like, you know, promoters need to work together, and there's all this talk about this stuff. And some of these guys come on there and like as if this was some kind of brand new idea. You know?
Yeah, well, they think that they think about this and they're like, I've got the answer. And they don't realize that they're trying to reinvent the wheel. It's already been tried.
Yeah, this been, I mean, we've been over and over and over this rocky road. You know what I mean?
I mean, remember in NASCAR, they actually tried to form a union.
Yeah. But
all they did was ban my man, what's his name? I can't think of the one that formed the union, but they banned him.
I'll tell you what, we're going to play that clip, and we're going to come back with Jason Garver. Right?
And that's going to be a really interesting story.
Absolutely. So let's do that right now.
Establish yourself at East Bay, obviously, Gibsonton. You've been there a while. You've been very successful there. What do you see as some of the changes, good and bad, that you've seen over the years at East Bay and in racing in general?
As far as East Bay is concerned, better bathrooms, better safety equipment, better safety crew. I mean, you know, there were some chances that were taken before. I mean, we had a sprint car wreck this Friday night. Man. Lucky anyone walked out of it. I think you were there to see it, Rick.
Yeah, that was scary. Well, actually, you put me in the pace truck with Lack.
Yeah, well.
But maybe the best place to keep Rick is in the pace truck.
But, I mean, the improvements in safety, listening to the drivers a little more, you see a lot of changes to the positive happening. And, it's just that racing is evolving. The negative you see is the onslaught of Winston Cup, of VCRs, of TVs, of computers at home and everything else, and the families having a different way of life. We were all talking about that. It seems like only Saturday night racing works in Florida. All of us have tried Friday night racing, Sunday racing, and no matter who the sanctioning body is we bring in or what we do to it. And the point is, John said, a lot of racing today is not just racing. It's the same old,
right.
Where if you go to Winston Cup race, that's why it's successful. It's not there every week. They come in. It's like, okay, if we don't make the soda this week, we'll make it next week. If we don't catch East Bay this week, we'll catch it next week. And that's why, you know, we as track promoters have to do a lot more for our drivers, for our fans, and for everybody. And
we got to build a better mousetrap.
Most definitely. That's what we're all talking about here tonight, about doing something better and working with, quite obviously, the only common link between every racetrack going here and everyone sitting in this room is Karnak.com. You know, and your people's attitude and all, and one of the things that we all discussed here is your message board. As much as a lot of people like it, listening to it, there's pluses and minuses to it. That's somewhere there has to be a positive message board where people sign their name and all, because, yes, it's a lot of fun, and the complainers are on there, and the whiners, and some of these people do make sense. I mean, even today, a couple of things that came on, we decided to change the rules for our mini-stock race.
Yeah.
Because of what your people told us. But the... Also, some of the other comments on there, really just like laugh at him and say, gee, who's going to case me? What'd I do to this one?
Right.
But by the same token, I think all track owners here feel that somewhere Karnak needs a real good message board where someone signs their name, their email address, where you can let your kids go on or anything else. I mean, how many fans do each or one of us talk to? Have you been to the message board? We don't go on there anymore because of all the baloney going on.
Right.
Yeah, baloney's fun. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. You get caught up, and everyone does, you know? Everyone goes on the 14 different names. I'm your first one.
Yeah, now I know, man. Now I know.
You win next to few of mine.
Believe me.
I may just put a $100 bill on top of your car.
There you go.
This is something that's necessary, too. I mean, you guys are fulfilling a lot. I think that we all realize that Karnak's a lot more than a message board. I mean, even this meeting alone tonight, the things that happened, we discussed issues of sales tax. Some of the things I've been through, some legal things. The track owner here is an attorney. We had a lot of good comments. We looked at printing together of doing things. We looked at the thing that we all had talked about a co-op for buying things. And again, you are a common link, and you're the only reason why we're all here together is because of the efforts of you, Jack, and the show. And that hopefully will make the racetracks make a little more money or break even at least. And a lot of us aren't breaking even. That's a true fact with show numbers to people. And that'll help the races, it'll help everybody in general.
Okay. Well, let's talk about
Stan Colon.
Do you want to talk about the smut board?
Stan Colon owned East Bay Raceway.
Mm-hmm. Turned it around. He
turned
did.
It upside yeah. down and around, and then turned it right. I mean,
that's what it needed was a New Yorker to come down and straighten it out.
Well, he turned that. Oops. He turned him.
Was he in the mob?
Well, no, he turned the Speed Weeks into like a super deal, man. I mean, he really did the East Bay Winter Nationals, and
he made somebody a deal they couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the smut board.
You have to listen to the whole thing on Thursday night.
Does anybody care what I think about the message board?
Yeah, I care.
Yes, what do you think about the message board?
I think the message board is great, no matter what they want to say. They want to rag on somebody, that's great. They leave themselves open to be ragged on themselves. Is it something that people need to get on and curse at each other on? No, but those are the people that take it way too seriously. Remember, it's just a message board. So if you play into it that your whole life revolves around that message board, well, you're going to get upset about some things. But, you know, by and large, it's just a place. It's an information superhighway. And if you want to know about racing and you want to know what happened at the racetracks, you get on Karnak, you go to the message board, you're going to find out pretty much what happened. If you can't find it on Karnak by the time you get done, I would really be surprised on a Monday if you can't figure out what happened. So
you think it's all right if a guy gets on there and says something that somebody can get on there and just totally insult them? It's okay.
Well, I think what a message board tries to do is try to get a reaction, good or bad. So as a guy or as people like us that are sort of... We're on the same side, but we're on a different side, too, because we're trying to make the news in some way, too. So if somebody out there has something negative to say about what we're doing, I think it's great, good or bad. Let them say what they want. Now, if you're taking something personal because somebody is taking a personal vendetta against you and is writing something personal about you, if it has to do with racing, that's fine, because that's what this is a racing message board. If it really doesn't revolve around racing, then... I think that those things need to be kept to maybe a general message board on Joe Blow's message board society. You know what I mean? So if somebody's attacking you personally, Carol...
No, don't even bring me in this. I'm not talking about me.
Well, I guess they must be. I was saying if somebody was messing with you personally,
No, I am talking
Carol,
about in general, is it all right to insult people and run them off?
Hold that thought, okay?
Yeah.
We'll come back to that later on in the show.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll get a definitive answer from the guy who does the show called The House Doctor. He's now going to be the board doctor. Meanwhile, we got to talk to Jason Garver. Welcome to Real Racing USA's Inside Florida Racing.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, you got a pretty impressive racing career going on there.
Yes,
141 wins?
Yes, ma'am.
And still counting, I'm sure.
yeah, hopefully still counting.
What'd you do this weekend?
This weekend we ran a pure stock 50 race at Columbia Motorsports Park. I drove Bobby Johnson's car, and we won it. Pretty good race. There's a lot of good racers out there in that pure stock class. It's pretty tough class, probably one of the tougher classes out there at Columbia Motorsports. But that's what we've done this weekend.
And you got 14 in a row.
Yes, ma'am. That was last year. We won the last 14 races in a row in the modified division out there to, you know, end the year out on a real good note.
You like to go fast there, don't you?
Yeah, try to. That's what they tell us to do.
Yeah.
Well, you got some racing blood in you. I guess your dad, who passed away a while back, Goober, was a racer.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. He raced when I grew up. You know, he raced. I guess that what instilled in me, you know, to want to race.
So where'd you get the number 27 from? You know, I like that number because that's my number, too.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Yeah, good number. Actually, I wanted to be 28 because Davey Allison and used to like Kel Yarbrough and all, but when I called to get my first number ever, they said, 28 took, how about 27? So I said, well, that'll work. And Kel Yarbrough, he used to run 27 years ago on the Valvoline car, so it just kind of stuck with it.
Well, you've definitely made it a winner there. Okay, so 2007, how many wins you got this year?
This year we've won 13 races. We've won 9 in the modifieds, won 2 sportsman races, and won 2 pure stock races. So we're having a really good year. Can't complain. We won the first ever extreme open wheel modified race up there at Columbia, and won the Dick Joslin Memorial at Orlando Speed World back in July, and just won this 50 lapper here this weekend. So pretty good. We can't complain. Things are pretty good.
How many championships have you had?
I've won 6 track championships.
Wow.
We won 2 in the pure stock, won 1 in the street stock. I've won 3 in the modified. We've won 1 it the last 2 years in a row, so things going pretty good, you know, in that aspect too. So can't complain about that.
Yeah, I've never. How old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
So you've never driven a late model there at Columbia?
No, sir. Not on a regular basis. I've tried a few times. You know, had a few rides here and there, and just, you know, separate races. One year I had a sportsman car. We tried to run in there, you know, about probably a quarter of the season, and just, you know, car wasn't quite capable of, you know, running the way we wanted to. So we ended up getting into the modifieds and kind of been in them ever since. We'd like to run the late models, just financially I can't, you know, afford to run like I, or, you know, can't afford to run like I want to. You know, we could probably run mid-pack, but that ain't no fun. We want to win.
Well, what could you do with maybe like Doyle Boatwright's car? Maybe you get him to let you drive his car one time. You run it to the front?
Yeah. Now, I drove one on Mr. Hodges' cars one time, and we ended up crashing it. So they might not want me to drive no more for them.
Well, you know, those things happen to everybody. But, you know, for a guy that's got records like you do and is a winner like you, I suppose you ain't gonna have a problem here in the future getting somebody to throw you in something.
We'd like to move on up in the racing world. I'd like to, you know, race for a living. Yeah, that'd be.
Well, that's kind of tough there, Jason. That's racing for a living.
I hope you don't like to eat too much.
Yeah, they better like beanie weenies, huh?
Yeah, right.
I was gonna say, have you seen the payouts in Florida?
Yeah. Well, we'd like to move on, go somewhere else. Yeah. You know? Maybe do some ARCA or trucks or something, you know, anything. Pay more money and I'll make it a regular job.
You ever race any dirt cars?
Yes, sir. I've raced some on dirt, on street stocks. We ran modifieds on dirt a little. Earlier this year, I had a late model on ride. We drove up there in Brunswick for Donald Mosley and Terry Ryan. We ran a race up there, and, you know, nothing really panned out with that, but that was, you know, a lot of fun. I'd like to do that, too, you know, like to have one of them.
Yeah, they race for some big money. We had Earl Pearson Jr. on the show last week, and, man, they race for some big checks.
Yeah, actually, the dirt right now is, you know, paying better than the asphalt. We had been thinking about, you know, switching over to do some dirt racing, just, you know, don't really know a lot about the chassis stuff on that side, you know. I mean, know quite a bit about the asphalt, and, you know, would be behind on setting the cars up and stuff like that. But you never know, might have to look into that into the future if they keep paying like they're paying.
Yeah, you just need to find a guy that's got the money, and you don't care what it is. You'll drive it.
Yeah, that's it. We'll race anything.
Well, I had originally asked one of the guys up there that races a truck to be on the show, and he says, you know what? I wouldn't do you justice. He said, I'd really like to turn you on to Jason Garver. And when your peers recommend you like that, it says something about you.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Yes, modified. Yep, I think you're doing a heck of a good job. And certainly we wish you a great future. What are your plans for the future?
Well, sponsorship, you know, has got a lot to do with it. Right now we got, you know, some good sponsors helping us on Dale Mosley Trucking. He helps us a lot. Jayco Drywall, United Racing Engines. Without them, you know, we probably wouldn't, you know, be done good as we have. My aunt and my uncle, they help me a lot. Got, you know, a lot of family and friends that help. William Yarbrough and Son Sales, he helps us. Bonnie's Memorials. We got, you know, a lot of good sponsors, a lot of good people helping us. Eagle Country 106.3, small town radio station right here where I live, they help us.
Where do you live?
I live in Stark, Florida.
Okay. Camp. I go through there. I take that shortcut from Gainesville up to I-10.
Yeah. You don't speed, I guarantee you that.
I heard that, yeah.
Got that right. You ain't going to speed through there, through Stark and what's the other? Lawty.
Hey, but I was going to tell you, Jason, if I know where you can go pick up a cool $5,000 pretty quick.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. On October 20th, down there at Auburndale, they got a $5,000 to win modified race with all kinds of contingencies. You going to go to that deal?
Yes, another one of my sponsors on Southern Style Motorsports, he had told me about that. I think we're going to have to go there and try that kind of money. We might get on. We won that. We could eat steak for a week.
Yeah, you might even be able to afford some A1 sauce with your steak with that kind of money.
Week's the good stuff that week.
Yeah, $5,000. Now, you know, definitely, Jason, you know, it'd be kind of cool to be a winner like you and have all these wins because you could just go to your sponsor and say, hey, I got to go. Look how many races I've won. I'm going to win that one. If I don't go, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
You have two children, Jason?
Yes, ma'am. I got two stepchildren, Brittany and Shayna.
How old are they?
Brittany, she just turned 17, and Shayna, she's fixing to turn 14. So
handfuls.
Do they have any interest in racing?
Yeah, they like going. The youngest one, Shayna, she would like to race, but her mama, she really don't want her to, you know, kind of scared of her.
So they'll have to settle for a race car driver. They'll have to settle for a race car driver, Jason.
Yeah.
You know how that is. Boy, I bet you're having a handful with them right now at those ages.
Yeah, they own them teenage years. They rough.
Yeah, they run the house.
They need to put them on another planet until they're 35.
Yep, that's it.
Well, Jason, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here, and we're just letting all the folks out there in the wonderful state of Florida and the world know who Jason Garver is and the kind of wins that you had, and be looking out for the modified. Are you still running number 27 on your modified?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're running 27 on it. The next time we're scheduled to run will be September 28th down there at Orlando Speed World. They're going to have one of them extreme modified races down there at Fast Car, their series.
What's an extreme modified?
It's like the regular, you know, Florida modified. Just they let you put these panels on the driver's side.
Oh, okay.
Behind the wind.
It ain't no panty waist modified. It's extreme modified.
Yeah, you go and put a taller spoiler and little fin on the front, you know, to help. It speeds them up a little. When we ran at Columbia, we ran, you know, time-wise as fast as the late models did. So it helps them out a little bit, you know, gives them a little more speed, makes them, you know, look a little different too. So just something different.
Well, listen, Jason, we got to move on here. We got a couple more things to do, and I'm thanking you for coming on the show, and we wish you the best of everything. Lots more wins.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on there. I forgot one of my sponsors, Pennyworth Homes. They help us a lot. J&J Motorcycles here in town, and you know, want to get all them in. They help pay the bills.
Well, you just keep winning for them, and
I'll talk to Budweiser for you.
Yeah. If you don't know anybody that's got millions on, give them our phone number. We'd sure like to try and spend some of it.
Well, call Joe Gibbs. He needs somebody to drive one of them Toyotas next year because Tony's probably going to quit.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Jason. I appreciate you coming on Inside Florida Racing, and you take it easy and keep winning, okay?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it. I'd love to come back sometime.
We'll have you on again.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye. Bye.
There you have it, folks. Jason Garver. Man of many wins, from what I can see here and what we've just talked
somebody
about.
Somebody disputed the amount of wins on there, but it's a fact.
Well, who disputed?
100? Oh, I don't know.
The guy he probably beat on his 140th race? Yeah, 140, 141, whatever. That's more races than you won, buddy. Anyways, good job, Jason. Keep it up. Number 27 modified. Keep your eyes out for him.
And for all you people out there, anybody wants to call in, 941-426-6760.
Yeah, haven't had the phone ring too much. Of course, it rang a little bit. We didn't answer it earlier when we had some people on, so call back. What'd you say?
I told you we don't answer the phone.
Yeah. What the heck are you making me do this every 5 minutes?
They have to let it ring. They have to really want to be on. That's the thing. They have to really want to be on. You really want to be on, then call and let it ring more than 100 times, and maybe we'll let you on. You actually got to stay on hold.
You know, tomorrow night we have Jimmy Owens on the Real Racing USA live show. Jimmy won the Eldora 100, man.
Yeah, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I guess our man Earl didn't win it.
Yeah, nope. No, Jimmy Owens won it, and biggest win of his career. And he's from Kentucky, I do believe. But that whole story about that deal's on, if you go to the front page of Karnak.com and click on the link there to Southern Short Track, bingo.
Bingo. Yeah, not to mention the fact that, you know, the Karnak message board is not the important part of the Karnak site. There's people that spend a lot of time, a lot of effort writing some really good racing stories on there. So before you even click on the message board, check out the front page and read about real racing.
I think this caller that's on the line might know a little bit about message boards, too.
Who might that be?
Let's find
Talk
out.
To him.
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
I guess you might.
I got a question for all you Karnakans on there.
Is that an official word?
Why is it when there's a post put on Karnak about a track and there's a problem with a track, teams always be getting deleted on there? You know, it's kind of funny how posts show up on there, and then a couple days later they get deleted.
Well, you know, we let the track owners.
There's a little bit of favoritism going on for the tracks.
We let the track owners moderate the board. You didn't know that?
No, they shouldn't be moderating.
Nah, that's a joke.
He's kidding. Hey, well, let's get down to brass one specifics. Tell us about a specific case. So,
I think everybody knows about a specific case that was deleted this week about a track in South Florida that, you know, there's a lot of things going on that aren't exactly
Henry County Speedway.
What's that? Yeah, that's exactly the track we're talking about.
And what posts were deleted?
Well, I was just talking about the things that are really going on at that track, and, you know, everybody wants
to tell us what's going on. Well, okay, you have it now. Tell us exactly what's going on at the track that people need to know.
Well, let's see. There's inconsistent calls. Rules are getting changed from week to week. Staff's getting changed from week to week. And, you know, it's just they're leaving bad taste in people's mouths, and it seems like everybody's getting pushed aside that knows what's really going on there, and nobody wants to own up to the fact that that's what's happening there. It's like everything's fine and dandy there, and it's not. It's plain and simple, it's not good there.
So with inconsistencies in calls, do they not have a race director there, one person that's making the decision?
Well, the race director seems to be changing from week to week. I mean,
It's tough. In tracks defense, and in their defense, I can't even defend them. I don't really know them well, but I will say in a lot of tracks defense, that is the hardest position to fill. And until you get a race director that is solid, that can be there all the time and make those decisions and have some broad shoulders, you will have those kind of problems. So what are some of the other things that are getting to you, some of the rules?
There's a lot of favoritism going on there. There's a handful of drivers that are only being listened to. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And when something like that gets brought up on the web board, it seems to be, like, deleted. And that's not right.
What was deleted? I'm trying. Let's get to the bottom of that. What was deleted?
There was post deleted on there from last week, and I don't remember who put them on or what was the deal. But, you know, there was
Are you talking about posts from Cindy Lynn?
That's right.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Those posts were deleted because of one simple fact. And whether people like this or not, this is the way it is, okay? This is not a democracy. There's no argument. You can call me up or call Jane Smith up or anybody. We can talk about it, but there's no real arguing the fact. We had told this person more than once, how many times are you going to come on and say the same thing over and over and over? Okay.
Maybe because it's the same thing happening over and over at that track.
Well,
nobody's getting it through their head.
Yeah, well, here's
trying to make like nothing's going on there.
No. No, bring some new points up. If you're going to stand outside the place and throw the same thing at the wall every time, it gets old. We don't want to hear it. Come up with some real substantial, exactly how we're going to fix the problem, what the problem is, how we're going to fix it. Okay.
There's been countless attempts to change things.
Maybe we should close the track down.
The people don't want.
Oh, is he a racer? Are you a racer?
I'm a racer. I'm a car owner. I'm a fan.
At that racetrack.
At that racetrack at several other races.
So, okay, so how should the, how can the problem get fixed, the problems get fixed?
Maybe be, you know, find somebody in there that can direct the races and run the track the way it needs to be run before it's too late.
Why don't you do it? Why don't you be the race director?
I'm not going to do it.
And you know what? And hold on. I'm going to tell you something.
I would love to do it, but...
That's the same answer that the owner of the racetrack gets.
He doesn't want to listen to other people. He wants to do things his way, and it's not working.
Is he the race director?
We don't know who the race director is from week to week.
Right. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of it. That's what we need to do. We need to get to the bottom of it. If they have a race director there, if they do, we need to get him on the phone and ask him how come everything's wishy-washy.
Have good posts and bad posts. But yet, when somebody puts a bad post or a negative post or...
I think if you go on the message board, if you go on the Florida Stock Car Racing message board right now...
It's full of negative posts.
And you go back for the last 90 days, I can guarantee you that you will find plenty of negative posts concerning Henry County Speedway. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that.
Why don't you guys start posting some ways that they can fix it instead of just telling them, that, you know, this is wrong. It's inconsistent calls, or it's the rules, or this or that.
And don't, and when some
ways to change it.
And I just happened
in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, but I just happened to remember. Wait a minute. I just happened to remember one of those posts that was deleted. The guy said the post was basically telling people don't go to that racetrack. Well, I'm sorry, but that's, you know, that's inappropriate.
How does that help you as a car owner and a racer? You're not going to have a track to race.
Help us.
So
you're right. It doesn't help.
Right. So let's get to the bottom of the problem.
Because wait a second, I didn't post that, but I know people that do post on there and they get deleted constantly.
Well, don't you think that after a period of time that
maybe we don't like them?
Something going on with the website, so you know they don't want any kind of negative publicity.
Who's they?
Got to be good.
Who's they?
The track owners.
They don't have anything to do with the website.
They don't have anything to do with it.
That was a joke.
They don't have
We should let them, but they don't.
They don't have nothing to do with it. Although he's right, they probably should.
Yeah, I mean, we should let them moderate that board because then it would save Jack from having to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to fix some stupid thing that some baby on there is crying about. You know, and I'm not calling you baby at all. I understand exactly what you're saying. And you know, if Hendry County, they need to read some of these posts, and maybe they need to find a good race director. To solve those problems, it's not going to get solved the way that you guys are doing.
There's been posts on there about them trying to find a race director. I know plenty of guys that have gone to the track and told them they needed a race director. I saw a post on there, you know, they should get contact Marty Little or maybe Leroy Davison. There's plenty of guys in South Florida that know how to promote race. I mean, and it's like...
What are they going to contact Leroy for?
What's that?
What are they going to contact Leroy for? To get some garage doors put up?
Yeah.
He's not going to tell anybody how to promote a racetrack correctly. He ran his right in the ground.
Well, I saw that on there, and I thought it was a good idea.
He's
got a lot of...
It should be.
Leroy is a good brain to pick for promoting races, but like he said, Leroy's not going to come down there out of the goodness of his heart no. without getting compensated for it and give away secrets that he had to earn.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let's forget about that place for a minute, and let's use a different example so there's no emotion. Have you ever raced at DeSoto Speedway under John Sapricone?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, here, let me tell you how John is.
But I know people that have and won't go back there.
Well, let me tell you, I also know people who have and still go back. So every track in this country, that's the case. And if you've been racing for a while, you know that. Now, here's the deal.
Now, I haven't raced there, but I've been there to watch races.
Okay, so here's the deal. John has it his way.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, the reason he has it his way, now, this is his argument. I'm not defending or whatever. I'm just saying this is his argument. It's his track. He's the one who put the money out to invest in it. He's been in racing for most of his life. He loves the sport. He cares about it. Okay? Now, other people might see it differently than him, but it's his money. And it's his ass if he loses his money.
It's a business.
It's a business, okay? And he has to make hard business decisions. Now, no matter what decision you make as the track owner, in his case, he's going to piss some people off, okay? Isn't that just part of life?
Right.
I mean, really, when you come right down to it.
Well, you want to know my dealings with John over there, and I was over there to watch a late mile race one night. Had nothing to do with racing, being over there racing. We sat there for 2.5 hours in the rain while they decided whether or not to cancel the races. I saw a guy go up to John and say, look, I'm from out of town, Michigan. I have to catch a flight in the morning. Is there any way I can get my money back? He told that guy pretty much to you-know-what off. He wasn't getting no money back. Is that how you're supposed to treat people? No. So just by that one little incident, we'll never go back to DeSoto.
Well, I understand that.
But if you have a policy, hold on.
Like there's no problems with Florida racing. There's a lot of problems. And I'm not saying it's all the promoters, but a lot of it is the promoters and the owners.
Did they run any features?
And the car drivers and the car owners.
Guess what? It was the same exact situation 8 years ago, and it was the same exact situation 16 years ago, and it was the same exact situation 25 years ago.
There's only so many tracks, so you keep getting mad at your local racetrack and tell them you're not going to race there, they're not going to close their racetrack up because you're not coming. There'll be another guy that's going to fill your place, and if you're that narrow-minded to take the track that is your racetrack that's closest to you, that this guy has opened up with his money to provide a place for you to play, and you're going to rag on him all the time and tell him how he should run it.
We're the ones there putting on the show for the
guy. No, you're wrong. This is where you're wrong.
Show to provide.
Listen to me. This is where you're wrong, okay? This is where you're wrong. You're talking to a race car driver here, dude. I've raced at every racetrack in the state of Florida, okay? I you're not just talking to somebody out of their ass, okay? I'm telling you how it is, all right? You piss off the race car owner, the racetrack owner, and he sells his racetrack to some guy that mows it down with a bulldozer and builds houses on it. What have you done? If you want to help him, then you help him. You guys get together as a group of racers that provide him the show, supposedly. He provides you a racetrack, son. And if he closes it up, where are you going to go race your car at? You're going to travel. And then you're going to get pissed off at that guy. And then you're not going to go and you're going to piss him off. And then he's going to mow his place down. And before long, we don't have a place to race. So you guys can talk all the crap you want on the message boards, okay, about the racetracks. But if you want to try to do something about it, go to your individual racetrack, call a meeting with the racetrack owner, with all your buddies out there that are racing with you, okay,
and try to get it worked out. Talk to him like he's a human being.
I've seen it happen at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, okay?
I have too.
I watched a guy come in and take a track where there was only 6 cars running in each class and take the people that were there and tell them, you know what? Look out there. It's bright out there. As dark as it was, it's bright out there. And Hendry County ain't no different, brother. And I want to see y'all's track prosper as much as anyone else. And the way you do that is to try to work with the owner and not be such against him. And don't get me the wrong idea about
against him. But when he doesn't want to listen to ideas and try and make the and for the betterment of the track, now come on, now that's being ridiculous.
So you think he wants his idea? Do you think that he purposely
or no ideas?
But
since the beginning of this track, since it's been regoing. It's his way or no way.
No, I think he's going to listen.
Run a racetrack.
I think he's going to listen to you guys in the right forum. Okay? He's going to listen to you, and he can't make all the changes because, you know what? Here's what's
sad. It's a big ship to
sad.
Turn around.
Here's what's
man.
Sad. The things that you want to change.
Changes, but when things don't work, you try something different.
Maybe.
You know, doing it your way and say, well, you can either do it my way.
What if it comes down to that? He absolutely doesn't want to listen to you or some of the other people that you know. What if it comes down to he's absolutely not going to listen to you guys?
Well,
and take
sooner or later, the people just get fed up and they go race somewhere else.
That's exactly right.
You're banging your head against the wall.
Exactly.
You're not getting anywhere.
That's exactly right. And what Rob is trying to say is the constant barrage by a small number of individuals on that message board in the long run are not helping the situation. That's all he's trying to
say.
That's
it. Exactly. That I think
there was a special, we had special races down there Saturday night. There was 51 cars for 5 classes. Now, I mean, with extra money,
that's not bad.
Is that, doesn't that, that should tell, a little bell should go off in somebody's head and say, we better do something different here because it's not working.
How many is this payout eight, that they're eight, crying about? Are you guys crying about payout?
No, we're not crying about payout. It's everything. Things change from week to week. Whether it's rules, the last special race down there, two guys got DQ'd that were from the track, and they reversed the decision until they found somebody that wasn't from the track and DQ'd them. Now that's not how you do things.
Yeah.
Favoritism. It's just there's a lot of issues going on. And I don't like the fact that people think everything's hunky-dory.
Well, have you guys...
That this track doesn't have problems, that track...
Do you think that the owner thinks everything is hunky-fidori or whatever that word is?
No, I don't think the owner does think that.
Do you think that? Racer X, do you think that?
Do I think what?
That the owner thinks everything is, like, fine and dandy.
Well, he sure makes out like it.
Nah, he doesn't. And let me ask you...
We'll call him up.
Well, I know 10 cars right now between where we live and 10 minutes from the track that are perfectly ready to race, and they're sitting home.
I tell you what, let me ask you one. Let me ask, we're running out of time, but let me ask you one question here. Maybe we can get to the bottom of this. If next week, if we can get the owner of the track to come on our show and answer questions, and if you guys, do you think that you and some of the other guys will be able to ask him questions respectfully and let him answer your questions? If you guys will agree to do that, then we'll see if we can get him to come on.
I have no problem with it.
We'll settle it in our forum called the People's Elbow. No, the People's Court right here. We can get it straightened out.
I have no problem with that at all.
Okay.
I'd like to get to the bottom and answer a lot of questions that seem to be going
unanswered,
or, you know, people turn their heads the other way like it's not happening.
So you guys really need to sit down with a group and come up with some good things on paper that you're going to present to this guy. Instead of just being, you know, gunslinger.
Yeah,
you can't be gunslinger.
You can't be gunslinging, man, because that slams the door.
Yeah, because he'll say,
I don't need the gunsling.
Yeah, just real issues that pertain to racers, okay, that some subtle changes. You know, listen, here's what makes a racetrack run. A tight, tight tech shed, okay? If you're going to have rules, have somebody there that will read from the top to the bottom in each class and find somebody cheating if he can. That's his job. His job is to find somebody cheating if he can. Okay.
And I will tell you, since the beginning of the year, the track has gotten 100% better as far as being racy. The track crew that he has, they have learned how to work that track, and it has a good surface.
There's now you're talking.
Stability at this track. But when you walk through the pits on any given Saturday night, and you talk to the guys, you know, whatever, they say, well, yeah, so-and-so ain't coming no more because the track peed him off. Well, when you keep hearing that week in and week out from different people, sooner or later you're not going to have anybody there.
Hey, listen.
I don't want to see that happen.
They'll be back. What's your name, Racer X? Is that what we call you?
Yeah, it's Racer X.
Racer X. Listen, they're going to be back, okay? I've been around a long time to know that they may talk that crap
in Florida,
for a while.
That's just part of Florida racing.
You can only travel so far before you finally say, what kind of idiot am I? That dirt over there or that track over there is just as good as where I'm traveling to. So I'm a big, big avid person to tell you, support the track in your area and whatever you can do. I find it hard to believe that this track owner would not sit down and have a professional business type conversation. And to prove that, we're going to put him on the show. And I guarantee you, you'll be able to ask him whatever you want and he'll answer it. And I find it hard to believe that he's not going to try to make some changes that would make things better for you guys. But there again, don't think that he's going to make changes that are going to make all you guys go faster. Make changes that are going to make people spend more money. You know, let's hear some changes that will make things safer.
Yeah, how long has the track been back open now?
Somewhere around January, February, they start.
It'll be a year coming up.
Same time right. as Bobby.
Yeah,
basically.
So now here's the deal, man. This is, I see here the complaints. I mean, besides the message board, which I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to, except when I get drug into it because I'm way too busy. But people call me on the phone. People send me emails. And, I mean, I understand what, you know, there's, like, issues, okay? But there's always issues.
Well, I mean, has anybody been on the site? I mean, the Carnac site, now, I saw somebody post on there. They were still advertising a race for July 7th last week. I mean, that's not, is that, and somebody raises the question, well, is that how you run a successful business?
and it's gone. Deleted off the post. Now, I mean, that was a legitimate.
I don't know about that. Personally, I don't
gone,
know about
wiped
that.
Wiped off the board.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know about that. But what I was going to say is this: the track was going along pretty good, and I can't. I'm really ashamed that I can't remember his name. I believe his
you
name.
Should be
The guy who died when he
Crum.
Yes, and he was doing, according to many people, he was doing a good job, and the place was going along. And when he died, the whole bottom fell out from under that, and I'm absolutely shocked, along with a whole lot of other people, that the place is even open, because I spoke to business people down in that area, business leaders, community leaders, and I never expected to see the track open again after he died. And
well, I'm not disputing the fact.
And the fact that this
spent a lot of money to get the place up and running. Nobody's disputing that. But if you're going to run a business like a racetrack, you should at least be open to take suggestions. And I'm not saying you got to take everybody's suggestion or do what everybody wants. But when you don't even want to talk to people and you don't even want to sit down and listen to people about what they want or how they want to do things different for the betterment of the track, that's ridiculous. Plain out ridiculous.
You want me to tell you an organization that does that and people seem to love it and watch them every weekend? NASCAR. They do the same thing. Hey, listen, yeah. Racer X, we got to go, man. We're running way late. Listen.
Really appreciate the call, though.
You've got a valid call and a valid situation, and we are going to prove the validity by bringing the guy on here and getting him to answer some straight-up questions, so you guys better get your stuff together. I don't know when it'll be, but maybe next week.
We will try for next week, but we will work on it till we get it done. Meanwhile, you guys get your questions together and, like, you know, make sure that you're, like Carol said, not, you know, you don't want to further a pissing contest. You really want to have some good, solid questions.
Put some asphalt tires on and come to Charlotte County Motorsports Park, damn it.
We may do that.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
Speaking of Charlotte County Motorsports Park, remember 100 laps of super late model racing this weekend. I will be racing there if you want to come see a show. I put on a show.
That's why
much.
We don't answer our phones.
How come?
Because call us up and give us heck like
that.
That's
perfect, man, but it I'd rather have stuff like that than some of the other
Absolutely.
Stuff that we deal with.
Absolutely.
I think it was a really
Absolutely.
Valid phone
That's very
call.
Cool.
And
very cool.
Yes, if you want to bitch, call us and bitch so we can get down to the bottom of it instead of writing it constantly. And I know exactly the barrage of stuff. Even though I say I don't really read the car
he lied.
I do scan through it every now and then, and I see the stuff, and I like it all. Good or bad, I like it all. But that's me, because I'm a bad guy.
Sort. It is time to go, and we got to say once again, you know, tomorrow is that day that I think there's going to be some things going on in the force tomorrow.
Well, let's hope that there's nothing serious that goes on tomorrow.
But tomorrow night, Real Racing USA Live, we're going to feature Jimmy Owens. We got some pretty cool things going on. We're going to have some guys who really go fast in race, air racing pilots.
Oh, no. Yeah. The Red Bull guys?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that exciting or what?
Oh, buddy. It's coming tomorrow night on
Real
Racing.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, my gosh.
They go like 400 miles, 500, 600, 700 miles an hour, something crazy.
I know.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, you'll be
7 o'clock.
And
Real
we'll try to
USA
get
live.
Wayne Calkins on here to tell us about what went on up there this weekend. They're
eight.
Having some phone problems.
We got to get the rest of these people hooked up for their 3 minutes of fame, though.
Yeah, yes. We will. We'll get that worked out.
Thank you for tuning in. Talk to you next Monday.
That's right. Don't forget, next Monday right here, same time, same place.
Send all the bad mail to Florida Carol Bricks. Wicks.
Don't you even think about it. I quit.
Hey, if you're in Port Charlotte, don't forget to pick up the house doctor tomorrow morning, 1580 a.m., 1105. And, hey, go to a race this weekend, no matter where it's at, okay?
And bitch loudly.
Yeah. Get on the message board and tell Jack to kiss your... you know. You do the St. Petersburg game. You're really gonna have a ball. Down the south side of town, yeah. In some hole in the wall. I got to do the St. Petersburg game. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Petersburg game. I'm gonna jump until I fall.
gun. We gonna do the St. Pete boogie. Let my bootleg shake. We gonna do the St. Pete boogie. Let my bootleg shake. Just a rockin' little party. Get my jive in the cake. When you're doing the St. Pete boogie, don't be contemplating crime.